John Morosi, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. And actually, my sister-in-law, who lives in Seattle, was at that game yesterday, and she texted me during the game, and she said, "This is embarrassing. It's 80-20 in favor of the Blue Jays." I said, "Yeah, I told you that was going to be the case. Maybe not again to that extent." But I said, the Jays fans travel in a big way out there in B.C., so congratulations to the Jays fans out there in B.C.
Is she a dyed, is she a dyed-in-the-wool Mariners fan? Like, does she go a lot?
Times a year. She's a proud Seattle resident, but I told her last week, I said, this is going to be a very overwhelming crowd for the Jays because of how well they travel there in Western Canada. So I was forecasting that, maybe not quite to that extent, but she is a proud Mariner fan, loves her city. And the Mariners are kind of doing the same thing as the Jays, getting back in the wild card race, but big weekend there for Toronto.
Well, tell us a little bit about the, that sort of like mucky 500 group. There's about seven teams within about a game or two of each other fighting to get into that that second wild card spot. And though I think we all expect much better things from Cleveland, and maybe we expected a bit better stuff from the Jays, we've talked about this before, there's no one that's terribly threatening or impressive. And as you said, Seattle, Texas, Detroit, Tampa, they're all around that same vicinity.
Exactly, Greg. And for me, that's why this week is so important. I think if the Jays can have a good series against Tampa, that, I think, propels them forward because their next couple weeks of schedule, pretty favorable. They've got some games against teams that I think are out of it, the White Sox, the Royals coming up. So if they can have a strong showing against Tampa, who, of course, is a game and a half in front of them in both the wild card and the division races, Baltimore is sinking. So if you can pass Tampa and you can get some momentum there, the Jays now all of a sudden become a real factor in this race. I really believe that. Detroit, I saw them over the weekend in Boston. Greg, they do not impress me right now. I think they are really looking lethargic at times, especially on the mound, not a lot of consistency there, especially in their bullpen, which, as you know, is not exactly a new story for the Tigers. So I think if the Jays just can find a way to have a solid springboard there against the Rays, I like their chances to enter the All-Star break with a lot of momentum there in both the wild card and divisional races.
All right. As far as freeing up players is concerned, it seems to me this can go either way. You can say, hey, we're in it because everybody's not very good, and so that makes it a seller's market. Or you can look at the teams that are out front and leading their divisions and say, we're not as good as them. Yeah, we can make the playoffs, but what's the point of just a one-off, one-day thing? And so it's a buyer's market. Where do you think that's going to head?
So that's a great question, Elliot. I think in Toronto's standpoint, let's not lose sight of the big picture here. This is probably, in some respects, at least with their current group, maybe that one year where Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins extended the window by a year. They bring back Bautista. It was a year where you feel like they were trying to maybe get that one last run out of this particular group, given the free agents they have after this year, including Estrada, Liriano, that group especially. So, to me, it makes sense if the Jays can find a way to get a good rental arm, they should do it. Because I think that's the one part of the club, especially with the uncertainty about Sanchez's blister and his health. You add the pitcher if you can. And that's why you look around, and actually the rental market's probably even better than I thought it was going to be. Jaime Garcia has pitched really well for the Braves. Derek Holland had a solid half season there with the White Sox. So there are some names of pitchers who are going to be free agents after the year that I think make some sense for the Jays. They really do. And I think the Jays, as much as their farm system has been a bit maligned, I think there's enough talent there, Elliot, to find a way to maybe at least get that one rental pitcher and go for it. Because otherwise, the bringing back of Bautista for the year was somewhat in vain. You're close enough now that it makes sense to follow through on the plan you had in the wintertime, try to go for it, and then assess things again after the season's over.
But why is it if you're going after someone and you have some assets and you're going to get a player, why is it a pitcher? Who is it that you're going to tell that's in your starting rotation right now, you're not the guy anymore? We're going with this guy that we just brought in as opposed to that bat. When you're looking at the bottom of the lineup right now, maybe a left fielder would be the direction.
Perhaps, and that's a very good point. I also think that's one thing, in talking about the corner bats, GMs have always said to me, Elliot, that that's the one thing that you can usually get on the market if you need one. The corner bat that's up for free agency after the season's over, the veteran player in years past has been a guy like a Marlon Byrd, who was traded, I believe, at multiple deadlines in the last 4 or 5 years. That type of player, of course not Marlon Byrd now, but that type of player is the kind of guy that Jays probably can get at a relatively low cost. I'm not saying that it's going to be entirely cheap, but yes, I think that makes some sense, especially given Pierce's lack of effectiveness from a standpoint of him being able to be a healthy, productive player for the Jays this year hasn't really happened. So I think that's that type of job. It makes a lot of sense for the Jays to go out and seek. Speaking of which, when you enter spring training and the thought was, okay, maybe Upton's going to play left field and Pierce will play first, there wasn't a thought that Smoke was going to have, as you guys pointed out a second ago, the most home runs of any first baseman in the American League right now, and a very strong candidate there to make the All-Star team in a year in which Miguel Cabrera's been down. There is some competition from the likes of Yonder Alonso and Logan Morrison, but right now, guys, you've got to like Smoke's chances to be there in Miami there next month.
John Morosi, kind of to join us. 7:39 is the time on Brady and Price. Tonight, with no Jays, if people can handle the late start time, might be curious to take a look at the first few innings of Masahiro Tanaka. The Yanks pushed him back to start against the Angels. They wanted him there instead of facing the Orioles. But this, when we talk about rentals, Ellie and I were saying off the air, that's the scary prospect for every other American League team, because the bats are there, the youth is there, it's all going well, the Yankees are exciting again, but getting another arm would be scary to add to Severino and Pineda and Montgomery right now if Tanaka can't come through, right?
Which they will likely do, Greg, and that's a very good point, because I think you look at the American League East in general, that's going to be the price of poker, because there it will go up, because whether it's Tanaka or someone else, they're going to have to find a way to maybe upgrade that rotation spot a little bit. Again, Tanaka is in a really interesting position because, of course, he can opt out after the season is over. But, Greg, he's not going to opt out if he continues on this path. He has really struggled this year. The stuff just has not been there. It really looks not just one tick down, probably two ticks down from where it was last year, almost across the board for him. So, and as we all know, the American League East is not a place that you can very, very easily age gracefully as a pitcher because of all the home run ballparks. So I do believe, as you point out, they're going to find a way to get a pitcher. Maybe it's a Jose Quintana, although he's struggled a bit this year as well. So I think there's a big pitching conversation to be had about the Yankees this year. And those same names I mentioned, Holland, Garcia, you can certainly add Yu Darvish if the Rangers are out of it. All those names there in play for a team that, candidly, the Yankees having a better farm system than Toronto has right now.
And Greg points out that it's a scary thought to see the Yankees add that pitcher, but you know what's really a scary thought? That the Yankees are here now because they're ready to spend money. And 2 years from now, never mind Bryce Harper, they could go after Harper and Machado. They have the money, and they would have these young players on smaller contracts. They would be a scary thought in your division going forward.
Elliot, I think that's one of the reasons why the Jays and their overall organizational planning look at this year as a year they should go for it, because there's going to be a moment there in the not-too-distant future where, as you point out, where the Yankees, if they get a Harper or a Machado, or they even upgrade the pitching even more, where they're going to be even harder to beat. And the Jays are going to have to naturally cycle through, and again, I credit Jose Bautista. I thought that when the way that he looked as the season began, the Jays were looking at maybe a bit of a rebuild even sooner, but they've been able to sort of push the sun up in the sky, to borrow the phrase a little bit, for one more summer, we think. And by the way, that certainly Donaldson's come back healthy, and Bautista's been productive, and Smoke has been surprisingly very good. So I think you're right. To that point, you've got to try to maximize this one last opportunity before the Yankees really get things figured out as an organization now moving forward.
All right. We love your commitment to our show, our station. My kids are watching you from Fenway Park Saturday. We watched the game. I said, there, Dad knows that guy. We've allotted you about 90 seconds here to talk about. There's some music for you, too.
At least you didn't run Deliverance and make them squeal.
Yeah. The home of the Nashville Sounds, Oakland's AAA affiliate. But we'll give you a little time to talk about the print. Were you sad? Were you unhappy? Are you thinking this is a lightning struck a bottle here? What do you think this is for Nashville going forward? I know you had a great time there in the Western Conference final.
I did, Greg. Well, a couple things. Number one, as a fan, would have loved to have seen a Game 7. Number two, unfortunate that the quick whistle there played a very integral role. In
always blaming the referees. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So, but I would say in general, I definitely got the sense being there this year, this was more the start of something than the end of something. The PK's interview with David Ambrose last night was phenomenal with his optimism for the future. So I think this is not the last time we will be hearing from the Nashville Predators this late in the summer. Obviously, tough to get back in back-to-back years, but I certainly love the future there for the Nashville Predators.
The better one than the Red Wings, I'll give you that. By a mile.
Yes, they're in much better shape, Greg. That's a topic for a new day, my friend, but they are much closer to the Preds out of their next cup final than are the Detroit Red Wings.